Back to WikiLeaks once again now. We've already talked about how it's changed the practice, or at least potentially challenges the practice and business of diplomacy by exposing secret conversations and cables to public scrutiny. But now at the center of the WikiLeaks controversy is also among the more alarming security issues in the world today, the status of the nuclear arsenal in Pakistan. Here, listen to Admiral Mike Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, talking about his concern or lack of concern over anything happening to Pakistani nukes.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't see that in any way imminent whatsoever at this particular point in time.
But the WikiLeaks documents suggest that Pakistan's allies may be more concerned than they've let on publicly. Joining us to talk about this is David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, who co-wrote a piece in the Times this morning on this very subject. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. What do we learn about the status and the security of Pakistani nukes from the WikiLeaks documents that you've managed to take a look at?
What it's done is confirmed what we've done in other reporting and what we've discussed on this show before, which is the concern is not so much the weapons themselves. The biggest concern tends to be the materials that are in the Pakistani nuclear laboratories, which are not as well secured by the assessment of the United States. Pakistanis deny that. And the result of this is that we've got these remarkable set of memorandums from the ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Pakistan. One of them complains that the Pakistanis will not allow the United States to remove some U.S. origin fuel that's no longer being used. It's highly enriched uranium from a research reactor. The U.S. provided this to Pakistan in the 1960s, and it was supposed to be returned when it was no longer in use in that reactor. The Pakistanis didn't want to release it because they were fearful that their own public would think they were giving up nuclear weapons, and because they were angry about the coverage concerning the security of Pakistani weapons.
You know, we see a pattern here, though, David Sanger. It seems as though the Brits and the United States are attempting to test the Pakistanis by offering to help keep these nuclear materials secure, to keep these laboratories secure, giving advice about that. Even Pakistan's High Commissioner to the UK was asked about this morning. And Pakistan seems to deny that there is any sort of consultative arrangement, or that the U.S. and Britain are to be allowed under any circumstances near the Pakistani nuclear arsenal. What do they have to hide?
Well, this is a question of sovereignty for them, and it is also rooted in their deep fear that if Pakistan was in chaos, that there were American or other plans to seize Pakistan's weapons before terrorists got a hold of them. And, of course, that is a very practiced, if very secret, U.S. military contingency plan. But any public mention of it drives the Pakistanis crazy, which is part of, and you can understand that, and that is part of why you see President Obama, as President Bush did before him, deny that there is any serious concern about the weapons. Now, President Obama himself commissioned a study during the Afghanistan-Pakistan review of the security of the weapons, and when it came back, it said, well, you know, the security of the weapons themselves is fine, but there was the concern about insider vulnerabilities, people working inside the program.
But let's listen to President Barack Obama on his 100 Days in Office news conference talking about this very matter here. Listen carefully to the president's sentence here.
I'm confident that we can make sure that Pakistan's nuclear arsenal is secure.
We can make sure. Combined, that statement combined with these WikiLeaks documents and the kinds of reporting that you're doing suggests there's a plan on the shelf to secure those nukes should anything happen to the civilian government.
That would suggest that. He could also have been referring to the once secret American program to help Pakistan itself secure those weapons. The U.S. spent about $100 million, a little more, to train the Pakistanis in basic security issues. The problem is the Pakistanis would not allow the U.S. anywhere near the weapons themselves, so no one's entirely sure how those weapons and materials really are secured. Mostly the U.S. has done training and provided technology.
You know, this whole portrait of the U.S.-Pakistan relationship seems to me very, very unflattering, and it seems questionable judgment on the part of the U.S. government officials to have such trust in Pakistan. And one interesting detail came out serendipitously this week, your colleague David Rode describing in his book about being in Waziristan under the custody of the Taliban, and that a Pakistani base nearby seemed unconcerned by a very, very open Taliban activity. Listen to what he said yesterday on WNYC.
My guards went and took classes on how to make roadside bombs that would kill American and Afghan soldiers. They were taught by Uzbek militants. Huge explosions would go off in the middle of Miran Shah, and Pakistani forces would not come off their base to investigate.
Pakistani forces seemed unconcerned about open Taliban activity. At what point is this just not working, David Sanger?
You know, this has been the problem every American president has faced with Pakistan, and every American president has come to the same conclusion at the end, which is the only choice is to try to work with the Pakistanis themselves and try to convince them of why this is in their best interest to solve this problem. But I'm not going to tell you that President Obama has much more of a chance of getting what he wants out of this than I think President Bush did. It's a very difficult issue, which in the end goes down to the Pakistanis following their own interests, and they believe the U.S. is leaving the region, and therefore their own interest is to make sure that they still have a relationship with the Taliban should it take over Afghanistan.
Have you asked the president about this? Do you have a sense of his sort of temperature meter on the insecurity of Pakistan?
I have not. We talked about it a little bit during an interview in April, during his nuclear security summit. But it's an issue so sensitive that I wouldn't expect him or any other senior American official to talk on the record about it. When I've done other reporting on this, I have certainly talked to American officials about this, and their concerns are deep, and you see those in the cables, and they're very similar to what's in the cables.
Right.
But I can't imagine an American president talking about it publicly.
David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Perhaps the surprise is that the WikiLeaks statements and the secret conversations aren't more strident and more alarmed about the situation in Pakistan. David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.